And may we pray. Father, we struggle sometimes with simple things, some of which we readily identify as sin. Others we fail to often identify because we simply follow the example around us. We pray this morning as you speak to us, we'll find the answer to leading obedient lives. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so Christmas is gone, and somebody said to me this morning, it's like a balloon, it just blows up and it goes poof, it's gone. And I assume that many of us had presents. I know I got a few presents. As the boys get older, I get more rewarded. So Christmas has been a good time for many of us with lots of gifts. But sometimes the best gift we can get is one that we nurture. And if you were a gardener or a parent, you know about nurturing. You know about taking care of something until it comes to fruition. It looks beautiful. And you're so proud of it. And this morning, I want to talk about such a gift, a beautiful fruit. It's a gift that keeps on giving. I want to look at that this morning as we look at Galatians 5. And as we look at it this morning, I want to look at five things I want you to take notice of. There is five things I want you to recognize. And one of them is the source of the fruit. I want to look at what is the fruit. I want to look at what corrupts the fruit. I want to look at how the fruit grows. I want to look at what the fruit looks like in the end. So there's a beautiful fruit there. And when I read this passage, especially these two verses, I began to think of a fruit that has everything that has sustenance, everything that will solve all my problems. It will fix everything I ever had, every trouble, gives me peace. I don't know about you, but I would love such a fruit. I could do without some of the troubles I have. I could do without some of the trials I face. And I wonder sometimes, is it really possible to have such a life? And at this point, I went off on a tangent. I began to think about pimento. You never heard that word, have you? Yeah. It's a berry that grows in Jamaica on a tree. And you guys probably know it as allspice. It's a taste of Jamaica. It was discovered in Jamaica. And what about allspice is so special? It's that it tastes like every other spice there is. That's why it's called allspice. And it's very hard to distinguish on your taste bud. You give it to people in food and they think, what is it? It tastes like cinnamon. It tastes like ginger. It tastes like a bit of pepper. Whatever it is, it has that taste. And no part of the tree is wasted. And the funny thing about pimento is that the most famous thing it's noted for is jerk. Jerk chicken. Well, in Jamaica, we jerk everything. It's the unforgettable taste of the Jamaican cuisine, jerk. You may be wondering, where's Andrew going with this? Well, we're thinking about a fruit. After having jerk on everything that is edible, your response is, yeah, man, no problem. I think the Holy Spirit is a bit like that. I think that what we get is a fruit that at the end of our journey, we go, yeah, man, no problem. But seriously, imagine that one fruit that is like every fruit you have ever tasted or produced. And Galatians 5 says there is such a fruit. It is not a fruit that is eaten, but it's one that's produced in our lives, in the believer's life. And others may experience it, its beauty. And it prepares new hearts for the Holy Spirit to start having his work all over again. It's infectious. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking at respectable sins and how they pollute our communion with each other. And we've been looking at how that affects us. We're also given some advice, some helpful advice from the Bible of how to deal with sin. In our host groups, we've been looking at real change and how this change is possible given our feeble and fallible nature. And I guess we have listened and debated, some of us quite vocally, some of us internally. And by now we've come to a conclusion that none of us are able to address this problem of sin without the help of the Holy Spirit. I hope we've got to that point. We get this verse here, verse 5 of Galatians 5. Just look for me here. Look with me here, please. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You see, it's through the Holy Spirit we have the confidence in promises yet to be fulfilled, giving us a real hope of getting back into a real, genuine, loving relationship with God. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't count if we have a special mark on us. It doesn't matter if we are set apart and special. What matters is having confidence in Jesus based on the love he has shown for us towards each other and everyone. And there's a lovely scripture in Romans that says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. What greater love is there than this? So we look now at the source of the fruit. We look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. We are described in verse 1 as being previously enslaved, submitting to a yoke of slavery, it says. And Paul here writes to a mixed congregation. Some were Jews, others were not. And the Jews thought themselves better than others, special people, set apart. And they insisted in this church that the laws and rituals were all necessary for the hope of Christ. It was hard for them to understand, to fathom, to accept that there is nothing no one could do to earn the promise of God. And so it may be here even today. How does one get something for nothing? But you see here, that is where the Jews got it all so wrong. And some of us still do even today. Yes, God's inheritance for us is free. But not because we didn't pay for it, but because God himself paid for it. That is grace. So Christ has made us free, it says here in Galatians. Know that you are free, stay free. Our freedom in Christ is very important. It's crucial. It's crucial to our relationship with him. We honor God because of what he has done for us, not because we're instructed to or have to, but because deep down inside we want to. This is a key to leading obedient lives. Knowing that we are made free, we want to stay free. But we can't do it on our own. We need help from him, from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit. And we look at Galatians 5, verse 7. How many of us can remember the day we accepted Jesus as our Savior? Some people can remember the day, the hour, the minute, probably even the seconds. I don't have such lucid recollection, but I can remember what it felt like in my heart. I felt brand new. Not because all my problems had gone away or all my worries had ceased, but because I trusted that He was taking care of it all. It is said that you can know the new converts by their zeal. They want to take on the world, the problem of the world. And they're doing that just trusting in Jesus, blindly. And as we get older, we look at them thinking that we're much wiser and think to ourselves, they will learn. Yet nothing is wrong with them. Something is wrong with us. You see here, Paul says, you were running well. Look at verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The Galatian church knew grace. They knew the grace of Jesus. They were running well, obedient through love, but in time they would lose sight of what matters most, Jesus. And soon it would be all about doing stuff to earn our way back to God. Not very different to us today, is it? We start out enthusiastic, faithful, but if we're not careful, we lose sight of Jesus. We think it's easier to do it on our own. Or we may get drawn into rituals, routines that make us feel better about ourselves. As we go down to Galatians 5, verse 13, it says here, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." 14 says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by another." You see, we are called to freedom. To be free from the passing things in our hearts. The things that make us feel better about ourselves and bitter towards others. When we use our freedom to promote ourselves, our interests, our desires, it is often at somebody's expense. Verse 15 warns us, watch out that we don't turn on each other. We don't destroy each other by doing that. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, love. The point that is implicit here is that without love, the law is incomplete. You could keep all the laws, but without love, it is incomplete, unfulfilled. Also implicit is the point that it is possible to fulfill one of the law, but impossible to fulfill all of it without responding to the love God has shown us. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what our fruit is. Love. It is described as one thing that forgives all sin. All the bitterness and all the bitterness that we have in our hearts is forgiven by God's love for us, shown by Jesus giving his life so that we might be free. So what is this fruit? Well, we said it. It's love. Love is not just a beautiful fruit. It is the most beautiful fruit that a believer can produce. As I said earlier, we can produce love own? No. We need help. We need help. With the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, we can't do any of this. We wouldn't recognize that our hearts are bad, what they really look like. We don't know how to fix our problems. We don't know how to fix the conditions of our hearts. And we wouldn't even have hope in our hearts. And we see here in this particular scripture in John 16, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." You see, we need the Holy Spirit not just to know love, but for us to live in love. Amen? Amen. Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit. In the promised end time, God will put his Spirit within his people so that they can walk in obedience to him. If we go in the Spirit, that is, we live each moment in submission to the Holy Spirit, we will resist the human, the worldly nature, desires of our hearts. The war in our hearts is to follow the flesh or to follow the Spirit. It's a constant battle between the two. And we can neither choose to be led by one or the other. But we have to. We've got to make a choice. Are we going to follow the Spirit? Or are we going to follow our carnal human nature? The two are in opposition all the time. The Spirit says, turn the other cheek. The flesh says, give my right hand. An eye for an eye. The Spirit says, forgive. The flesh desires malice. The Spirit says, peace. The flesh wants strife. When we're led by the Spirit, that is controlled or guided by the Spirit, our desire is to be obedient because of his revelation of Jesus in our lives. You see, the Spirit does that work. He reveals who Jesus is to us. And by knowing Jesus, we then lead obedient lives. You see, love is the real fruit produced in the believer. And we need the Holy Spirit to teach us how to love. But with all of that, Paul warns us again that there may be things that can corrupt the fruit. And the fruit is at risk when our hearts are controlled by our own human nature, our natural desires. In Galatians 5, verse 19, note that the product of the flesh is described as work. And the product of the Holy Spirit is described as fruit. So one is work, one is fruit. The only similarity we have between the work of the flesh and the work of the Holy Spirit is that they are both products of the heart. That's where it stops. It is the main difference. When we can see that it is who controls the heart that matters. That's what the main thing is. If it is the flesh, the products are sinful, inflicting pain in our lives and the lives of others. Galatians 5 verse 20 lists a collection of the products of the flesh. We can read all of these. It's immorality and sensuality and impurity and idolatry, fits of anger, divisions, drunkenness and envy. Note here how the flesh seeks to please ego. It has no concern for anybody else but self. The work of the flesh produces satisfaction in the moment. It is work because we toil. The product is futile. It can be summed up in that well-known secular song, "I can't get no satisfaction. And I try, and I try, and I try, and I try. I can't get no satisfaction." We're never satisfied with the work of the flesh. We want more. More things. And for what? One more time, one more try, one last time. You know what Solomon describes this? He says, all of this is futility, vexation of the spirit. Because he tried, and he tried, and he tried, and he came up in the end, "I can't get no satisfaction." For a moment, we are drawn into a false sense of security, that we're okay, not realizing that destruction follows in the work produced in the flesh. A loss of inheritance. A loss of inheritance. Delayed gratification. Holding on to Jesus means we have a real inheritance at the end that we can hold on to. I want to look at now how the fruit grows. How can we make it grow? How do we encourage it to grow? Well, we need some help, as I said before. The image of the fruit is one that is sweet and something good. Unlike work, which I tend to think of as instant coffee, doesn't taste good, very fast, fleeting, momentary taste. The fruit, on the other hand, takes a lot of time to mature. And when it is harvest time. You see, our fruit should be getting sweeter, better, ready for the harvest as the Holy Spirit takes greater control of our hearts. You know, one songwriter says, he gets sweeter as the days go by. I mean, how many of us can really say that? You can only say that if the Spirit is in control of your heart. He's getting sweeter as the days go by. That's a hard thing, but easy if we can have Jesus in control, if the Holy Spirit is in control. As the song we sung earlier, let the Holy Spirit take control. Love is being perfected to reflect the love of Christ, that love that he has for us. Good fruit takes time to mature. We only have to look at Pam. You know, I think it was Anne who quoted from a psalm. "You will bring fruit in your old age." It takes time. I'm not asking everybody we're going to come up tomorrow and we're all going to look perfect. We're not going to be perfect overnight. It takes time to mature. It is beautiful no matter what angle or position you look at the fruit. It doesn't matter how you view the fruit. Turn it around anyway, it's going to look beautiful. In the heat of need, we see patience when we look at the fruit. In the heat of pain, we see joy. In the heat of differences, we see peace. In the heat of loss, we see faithfulness. In every circumstance, every situation, good or bad, the fruit we see is good. That is how the believer looks when he's matured. That is how love looks. That's how you deal with the problems because of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You don't get angry so easily anymore. You don't react in negative ways or be too selfish anymore. You're living for others. And as we get older and more mature, and when I say older, I don't necessarily mean age. Just spend more time in the scripture, get older. More time with God. The phrase "against such law, there is no law," doesn't mean that those who are spirit-filled can now ignore the law. It simply means, as we've seen before, love is the ultimate goal and expression of the law. That's what it means. What does the fruit look like? The one who loves is obeying the law. The one who is self-controlled is obeying the law. The one who treats others with humility and kindness, they're also obeying the law. See Galatians 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Jesus have put earthly passion desires to death. That is, they make a way for the Holy Spirit to occupy their hearts. The Spirit inside of us causes us to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. His Spirit is aligned with ours. Our spirits are aligned with His. Our wills are aligned with God's will. God has revealed His will to us through Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. He has shown us whatever pleases Him. His law is the written expression of His will. That is His will. So the one who is walking in the Spirit will be loving of others in obedience to His will. They will be peacemakers in obedience to His will and His law. They will put others first in obedience to His will and His law. They will fulfill the law without even thinking about it at times, because the fruit of the Spirit comes out of their lives naturally. As we see in Galatians 5, verses 25 to 26. As believers, we are given new life by the Spirit. So let us then live in the Spirit, giving the Spirit control over all our hearts. And that's a challenge. Can we give the Spirit all of our hearts? And Paul ends in the last verse here. Unless we should be conceited, envious, or provocative towards each other, we only need to realize one thing: that by doing so, our flesh would have the better of us. Submit to the Spirit. So in summary, we've been talking about a beautiful fruit. And this beautiful fruit is what we are to produce, each and every one of us. We've heard so much about the dangers of sin. We've talked about real change. Now we've got to produce. We've got to nurture it. We've got to get to, yeah, man, no problem. So we remember these five things. The fruit produced is a result of God's grace. And that love is indeed the real fruit produced in each of us. We remind that we are at risk when our hearts are controlled by human desires, natural desires. And all we need is a little patience, because it takes time for that fruit to mature. You probably need help. You will need help from those around us who are walking this path a long time ago, and from the Holy Spirit who is now residing in our hearts. And lastly, good fruit covers the law. It does. It covers the law. And that's what the good fruit looks like. That's our beautiful fruit. That's the best Christmas present you could ever have. That's the Christmas gift that keeps on giving. I pray this year, well, we're at the end of this one, now going to the new one, that we'll think about that. That we love each other, really love each other, and allow the Holy Spirit to take control. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're all control freaks. We like having control over different things and sometimes over everything. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll truly, as your children, learn what it means to have you in control. Father, you've given us your Holy Spirit. For those who have claimed you as their own, you reside in our hearts. Help us, Father, to give more room for the Holy Spirit, that he can take control over us, that we may produce the most beautiful fruit that has ever been seen, the image of your Son, Jesus, the embodiment of love. Amen.